Welcome to Winter Quest Podcast, episode 12 already. This week is on my calendar. I am joined by my lovely co-host.
Should we talk about your conjunctivitis?
Got some in my eye.
Next one.
Yeah.
It's pretty gnarly. I should post a picture on Facebook. It's pretty nasty looking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 30% blind. Good enough to drive at night.
On your way down to Bakersfield.
Okay. So Monday. So since we usually we record this on Saturday and use it as kind of a kickoff show to a week's worth of topics, since we've kind of had to change this format the last month. And Thursday's actually now being our wrap up. Let me tell you where we've explored so far. In case you haven't checked anything out, which I know you all have, go read my blog. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
But we start on Monday. So Monday we kind of kicked off talking about filling our lives with the big rocks first, right? If our quest is work-life balance, the number one problem we have is that we allow the minor things in life to take up major time. You know, so the first thing you start to notice is, I enjoy my work. I love my work. I need to work. I'm working too much, right? You know, and so kind of, I shared at the end of the blog the analogy of like when I walk out the door, if the kids are like, bye, Dad, see you later, I feel like we've got a good rhythm. But, and, you know, funny, I posted this on my Instagram on Sunday because it happened this week. If I go to leave the door and there's like weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, I know I've been gone too much.
Yeah.
You know, and so Sunday afternoon, I kind of.
But what about the kids? How would they act?
I don't know. I'm never around. Hey.
Hey.
So there's this natural rhythm and cycle to life. And there are obviously busier seasons. I was going to say not busy seasons. Every season is busy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be honest. Every season is busy. That was kind of what I talked about on the IGTV that I just posted. Ultimately, like, achieving perfect work-life balance is a myth. You're always going to be somewhat out of balance, and it's learning how to manage those and shift those priorities. Like, we're always aiming and striving for the ideal. So if I can leave the house and the kids are like, hey, Dad, we'll see you later, we're in a good spot. If all of a sudden I start to have the kids cry as I'm walking out the door,
yeah,
we got some work to do. I need to spend some more time at home. Then Instagram talked about the indicators that you're starting to get overworked and how you can fight against that. And then I posted a YouTube video yesterday exploring kind of this intersection of what does it mean to be overworked and overburdened and some of the warning signs that I have experienced personally. And it's led me to two thoughts. First of all, what we want to talk about tonight. And so I want to give you kind of the five emotions of overwhelm that you notice that you're going to start to go through.
Mm.
So you maybe reflect on some of that. Maybe not the only five, but five key indicators that your life is out of balance and something needs to change. And then, you know, it made me think, I think this next week's topic, we're actually going to talk about burnout, leadership health.
Mm.
And
that's one of your big topics.
Yeah,
that's
one of my big topics in my doctoral program. And I was reading, actually, as I was working through some of these emotions, creating the list for the talk tonight, I went back and actually read one of the papers that I wrote on burnout. And one of the interviews that I did was from a counselor. And I said, you know, you're teaching future counselors how to stay healthy in an academic setting. Why do counselors have a lower rate, it seems like, of burnout than pastors?
Okay.
And he said, because we talk about it. We talk about it a lot, and we don't give them an option for self-care.
Oh, wow.
That was certainly not my case, not my experience when I pastored.
Yeah.
And so I think it's an important thing just in general leadership health to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
If the way that you fight against burnout is you talk about it, and you talk about it a lot, we're going to talk about it. So that's going to be our topic next week. So there's kind of our little segue teaser for next week's topic we will cover things that you can do to actually fight against burnout, some of the warning signs of burnout, some of the devastating effects of burnout, ultimately how you can come back from it.
Well, and sure, to get to a place where you can enjoy your workout and to have a healthy relationship with your work.
Yes,
it absolutely. Is like that is a relationship
it
itself.
Is. It is, absolutely. And that's vitally important. But anyway, that's next week's topic. So let's go ahead and dive into the five key warning emotions that overwhelm is happening, that something in your life probably needs to change because you are headed towards inevitably this burnout.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is anger. And anger is one of those touch emotions, right? Like we tend, I think, to want to negatively stereotype anger as a bad emotion, right? It's an emotion just like any other.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to get used the most destructively, but I don't want us to, for a second, think anger is inherently a bad emotion. There's good righteous anger of, you know, being upset about injustice in the world.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about is quick anger, when you notice that the slightest little thing set you off, and maybe even it's more telling if people that you are working with or working around are starting to become scared or passive around you because they know that the slightest little thing will set you off. So anger itself can be a good emotion, can be utilized correctly. But if you kind of wake up in a neutral mood, but your shirt's got a wrinkle on it, or you know the email was supposed to be in at 8 o'clock and it comes in at 8:02 and you chew your secretary out, or you know, like whatever the situation is.
Yeah. I woke up angry this morning.
If the quickest little, the tiniest little inconvenience sets you off, that's a sign that overwork and this sort of overwhelm feeling is starting to happen. And that will eventually lead to this burnout that we'll talk about next week.
But you woke up angry. Yeah, I woke up angry. And like,
well, that's because you had like 23 kids in your bed. I mean, this is like old lady in the shoe in this bedroom.
I crawled out one of the little shoelace holes.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
No jokes. I woke up at, I don't know, it was whatever, 2:30, 3 o'clock this morning because I had a kid had wedged themselves under each arm and I had another one laying on top of me.
Oh.
And I was so miserably hot. But I was just like, I'd rather be awake.
That's what usually gets me out. I was like, oh, I can't breathe.
So I woke up angry too, but for an entirely different reason. But anyway, so first sign of knowing that you're headed towards this, ultimately this burnout, that's starting to feel like overwhelm and this work life is out of balance, if that first slightest thing kind of ticks you off, if you can't process the little nicks.
You
know, I remember listening to a story of a pastor once, and he says, he was reflecting on his experience, and he said, ministry is he coined the phrase death by paper cuts.
Oh, is that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that phrase, right? And if you're noticing that those paper cuts are starting to add up and they're just making you angry, get some help, please. Somewhere.
Have you ever tried washing dishes with a paper cut? That's why I wear rubber gloves sometimes. No. You make fun of me for wearing rubber gloves.
I only ever wash dishes with a rag.
Okay.
Not a paper cut.
No.
There's your dad joke you were waiting for earlier. Mm-hmm. I snuck it in there.
Stop snucking. No more snucking.
Oh, emotion number two.
Mm-hmm.
Trigger warning that overall this happened. Is this general feeling of disappointment. Like your natural outlook towards life is always that you're going to be let down. If you kind of wake up and you're like, well, nothing's going to be different today, and you kind of lack that hope that things can and will and maybe should change. And this is just, we all have those moods. You know, if you're expecting a big sale and you don't get it, I'm not saying don't feel disappointment, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying it's this continual, unrelenting, maybe we call it, you know, like the Eeyore syndrome or something, you know?
Did you just make that up?
I did. I don't know.
Maybe, that's an adorable one. Good job.
Good.
And I relate with it.
Okay. So you know, like just that, oh, well, I'd probably call him, but he's going to say no anyway.
Mm.
Well, sure, but if you don't call, it's already a no, right? So you might as well call and get the no. But that disappointment is going to happen.
Yeah.
And if this is that unrelenting experience, watch out.
I think that's, I really like that one a lot because, I don't know, because anger can be kind of maybe fleeting sometimes. Maybe if you had a lot of coffee, you're like, oh, they're not really angry if I'm, you know, if I'm caffeinated or if I'm awake enough.
Yeah.
But if you're having that hopelessness, ooh.
Yeah.
That's very sad. That's a very sad sign.
It is. It is. We're going to continue to get sad here for a second because that leads me to point number three. Well, they're all sad, right? We're not talking about good things.
Yeah.
But we're talking about necessary things. Number three, you know, actually when I was writing the notes for the show notes for this, I was thinking, maybe one step down, you know, like there's disappointment, but one step I think below that is worst case scenario. Like it's not just expecting to be disappointed, it's expecting the worst of all possible outcomes.
Hmm.
that if our perspective is not just, well, I'll probably be disappointed today, but it's my house will burn down and, you know, and my family will die in a car wreck. You know, like if you just start imagining all of the worst case scenarios, you know, we're talking about business. So it's not just, oh, I didn't just get that sale, I'm disappointed. It's, and now my entire business is going to fail and my life is going to fall apart and I'm 12 days away from being homeless. You know, like it's not just this sense of disappointment. It's this, the world will end upon me now, sort of
doomsday, you
know, doomsday scenario.
Yeah.
What was that show on Discovery Side Note? Doomsday Preppers. Bam. Doomsday Preppers was a great show.
If you're prepping, is that a sign of work-life balance?
Yeah, they were the most balanced people out there because they didn't spend all the time at work. They were ready. Okay. Number four warning sign is negative self-talk. And this is the one, like, I kind of jokingly put myself down a lot, but I don't really mean it.
He gets in trouble for it a lot, too.
But I
don't worry.
But I say things a lot as a joke, and I know I shouldn't. I don't want to excuse or condone that under any circumstances.
It's a habit. It's a habit. It's a habit. He's actively trying to, and I am actively trying to have him not do anymore.
It's a bad habit.
But I think we all do it.
We all do it. And most of the time, quite genuinely, I mean it as a joke. Like, for instance, last night, Elise was watching the YouTube video that I posted, and I could tell who it was. So I just shouted out, "Don't watch that guy. He's a loser." I didn't mean it. I'm not a loser. I'm really quite cool. Probably one of the coolest people you've ever met.
That's right. And I love you.
But so when I talk, so anyway, it's a bad habit. I know I shouldn't. We'll get back on track here. But I also know that overwork starts to happen when I tend to believe that self-talk. And that's when I have to readjust my own calibration, which is why I don't think it's a good habit to have in the first place. Because even if yesterday I meant it as a joke, if I'm more tired today than I was yesterday, I might actually start to believe some of the residual vibes and energy I put out in that sentiment, right? You know, so like if I start to believe that I'm a loser and that this is hopeless and that I'm no good and nobody wants me or cares about my product or service or good or sale or experience or emotion or perspective or whatever, if I start to believe that, then I think that's a sign that overwhelm is starting to happen.
Yeah, that leads.
Because we've become so wrapped up in this identity of my work matters so much that I can't find identity out of it. Hello, Enneagram type 3. Like this is why, like of all of the ones, this is the one that I think affects me the most. That I can start to tell when I'm sitting at my computer, like, well, what's the point in writing this product? Or, you know, I'm in the midst of writing a book right now. And some days it's like, oh, I, you know what, nobody will really care if I ever get this book out. Why finish it? Because ultimately I believe that it matters, right? And the longer that I allow myself to believe that it doesn't matter and I don't need to finish it, I can be distracted, the more that I think it's this trigger for overwhelm that I almost need to take a step back.
Okay, so can I weigh in on this one?
Yes, please.
This kind of self-talk, there's power in words, right?
Yes. 100%.
And I don't mean that like even lightly at all. I mean, like, so we were doing a Bible study this morning about how much of an emphasis Jesus put on your word is meant to be spoken as truth. Mm-hmm. Like, don't just like swear it off and be like, and just swear it off, be like, oh, I swear I'll do it. Don't try to convince people. Let your words mean something. And like throughout the whole Sermon on the Mount, that's all like, be true with your words. Like, because someone in the group was saying that she said something awesome, but it was just like, your words have power. Don't try to persuade people. Let what you say be absolute truth. So when you're talking about yourself, you're creating something. You're creating a creation with your words. And how much more so is it powerful if you speak out loud good things about yourself? Because God has created us to speak and to He wants us to be truthful about it. So I don't know. That's like, that's speaking to me right now.
Right. Absolutely. No, that's great. Thank you. Great. And tip number, or maybe I should say trigger, emotion warning sign number 5. I wrote down just as foggy decisions, right? Like this perpetual, again, we're talking perpetual brain fog and clouded judgment. Mm-hmm. We all have those mornings where you just wake up tired and it takes a while to snap out of it. But it's this perpetual, you know, that unrelenting haze of, mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
I'm wandering. Another day gone by.
I was talking to somebody this last week, and they were telling me how busy their week was. Mm-hmm. And he said, I knew it was bad because I got home and I sat down, and all of a sudden I got a little afraid because, like, I should be somewhere and I'm not. You know, like he had this almost minor panic attack of, like, why am I sitting down and able to relax?
I have those every day.
Right. But, and I think that's a sign, right? Like, it's not just, I'm saying, like, that perpetualness is not just, you know, forgetting calendar appointments. It's this, you know, am I supposed to be here? Like, when we become lost in the maze of life and don't feel like we can make this adequate progress, mm-hmm. it's okay to be like, hey, I think I have an appointment I forgot about. We all do that. This is that. I'm not sure which way is up and which way I should even swim.
Oh, you know, for sure. Like, that's a little bit more of a deeper.
Right. I actually experienced that once. I don't know if I told you this. I was in California and I was, I don't know, 16, 18, somewhere there. We were at the beach with some friends and I went swimming and I got smashed by this wave and lost my shorts in the ocean.
Oh, yeah, I think I'm
swimming in the nude. You're welcome, Pacific Ocean fish, for my shorts. Anyway, but the point, this not knowing which way is up, like I remember I got pounded and I could feel my shorts fly off and they got sucked out by the undertow. And I remember thinking, like, my first thought was, oh crap, I'm naked. Mm-hmm. But instantly after that was, I don't know which way to swim. Like when that wave hit me and it spun me around, I honestly like just started swimming. Uh-huh. And I literally could not see. I didn't know which way was up. Mm-hmm. And it was a very disorienting feeling. And I was underwater what felt like forever. I'm sure it wasn't. Mm-hmm. But I was underwater what felt like forever because I was like, what am I going to do if I swim and I touch the sand? Then I've got to turn around and try to jet up because I could feel like, oof, you know, the running out of the oxygen.
But listening to this is giving me anxiety. I don't like being underwater.
Yeah. So anyway, like that's the sort of brain fog decision, like which way is up?
Yeah.
There's this, oh, I forgot an appointment, or oh, I'm overbooked, or oh, I'm overcommitted, which is a whole other warning sign we should probably talk about.
Right.
But we're talking about that kind of emotional side of it. It becomes that I'm not even sure what the right decision to make is here. Mm. Where in any other normal circumstance, it would be a fairly easy, quick decision.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, if I weren't tired and I weren't stressed and I weren't overworked, I'd clearly go with option A. But if you're standing here and option A is obviously better and option C is terrible, and you're like, I don't know which one we should do.
Oh, yeah.
I think that becomes a very clear warning sign that you need to take a step back, gain some perspective, maybe get some outside help, take some time off, go take a nap, go take a walk, mm-hmm. those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So anyway, those are the five emotional signs that overwhelm is impending that ultimately that I will argue over this next week lead to burnout. So please be sure you follow along on all of that because I'd love to get perspective input on that. But I really think this next week is we're kind of building from overwhelm to burnout, which burnout is what happens when you live in overwhelm too long.
Yeah.
So we're kind of, you know, sticking our toe in the pool this week and we're jumping in next week.
Yeah.
Make sure that we can keep leaders healthy. So again, your five emotional warnings that something is coming that overwhelm is happening is anger. Mm-hmm. The slightest little thing is going to set you off. Is disappointment, that's always expecting to be let down. This worst case scenario, expecting the sky to fall at any moment. Mm-hmm. The negative self-talk, that you're a loser, that this situation is hopeless, and that you actually are believing and creating that in yourself. And then foggy decisions. Mm-hmm. This sort of brain fog and cloud of judgment. But if you're experiencing any of those five emotions, please get some help. Reach out to me. Find a trusted friend, counselor, whoever. Let them know that you're overwhelmed, that your life is out of balance, that you need some greater perspective. So, mm-hmm.
And yeah, certainly if these are chronic, like we all, you know, experience anger and disappointment, yeah. Worst case scenarios. I mean,
they happen, right?
Five times before breakfast.
Yeah. Again, this is not like you can't ever have these thoughts. It's the right. Continual,
yeah,
unrelenting ingrained belief that I'm always angry, you know, Hulk. You know, that's my secret. I'm always angry. If you're always angry,
I like that.
Something is wrong.
Yeah.
If you are always disappointed by life, something is wrong. If you are always stuck in brain fog, something is wrong.
Yeah, for sure. And be sure to check out his videos on the Full Focus Planner, because those are helpful too.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. You can find all of that stuff on my YouTube channel. I'm actually getting ready to film the next series, since you mentioned that, Leadership Over Coffee, where these are going to be like short 2 to 3 minute, hopefully funny, but
it's
stories.
Just a video of him holding a sign that says leadership and then coffee.
And then coffee. But these are designed to be short 2 to 3 minute videos that will just help you, equip you for whatever your leadership journey looks like.
So, hey, and I'm an Enneagram 9 working in a Full Focus Planner. So that's got to say something to me.
That's how amazing they are.
Yeah.
I got so much more time right now that you brought up Enneagram. Save that for next time. We'll do another live real soon. Thank you for joining us. Glad you guys could all pop on. Be sure to leave a comment, like, share, all of that stuff. Appreciate it. And we'll catch you guys next time.
Have a good night.